You're listening to What's New with Wired.
This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Each episode features insight you won't find anywhere else from the center of the conversation surrounding emerging technologies like AI. Right now on the podcast, you can hear a special episode where Brad Smith lays out Microsoft's vision for a vibrant marketplace driving the new AI economy. To hear more, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
It's Monday, April 1st. I'm Zeke Robison. Today we're talking about whether smartphones actually harm kids. Make sure to listen to the end to find out what other Wired podcasts you can check out today. The anti-smartphone movement is having a moment. On March 25th, federal governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill banning children under 14 from social media platforms. In February, the UK government backed a tighter guidance to keep children from using their smartphones at school. In the past year, grassroots organizations like Smartphone Free Childhood have risen to national prominence as parents fret about the damage that screens and social media might be causing to young people's mental health. Beneath all this worry is a fiendishly difficult question. What impact are smartphones having on our mental health? The answer depends on who you ask. For some, the evidence that smartphones are eroding our well-being is overwhelming. Others counter that it isn't all that strong. There are blogs, then counter-blogs, each often pointing to the same scientific papers and drawing opposing conclusions. Into this maelstrom, we can now add two books, published within a week of each other, that sit squarely in opposite corners in the fight. In The Anxious Generation, How the Great Rewiring of Childhood is Causing an Epidemic of Mental Illness, social psychologist and author Jonathan Haidt lays out his argument that smartphones and social media are the key driver of the decline in youth mental health seen in many countries since the early 2010s. The early 2010s were crucial, Haidt argues, because that was when smartphones really began to transform childhood into something unrecognizable. In June 2010, Apple introduced its first front-facing camera, and a few months later, Instagram launched on the App Store. For Haidt, this was a fateful combination. Children were suddenly always online, always on display, and connected in ways that were often detrimental to their well-being. The result was a tidal wave of anxiety, depression, and self-harm, mostly affecting young girls. In Haidt's telling, though, smartphones are only part of the problem. He thinks that children in the West are prevented from developing healthily thanks to a culture of safetyism that keeps children indoors, shelters them from risks, and replaces rough-and-tumble free play with adult-directed organized sports, or, even worse, video games. For evidence of safetyism in action, Haidt contrasts a picture of a 1970s playground merry-go-round with a modern set of play equipment designed with safety in mind and thus giving children less opportunity to learn from risky play. This is Haidt's great rewiring in a nutshell. Childhood has switched from being predominantly play-based to being phone-based, and as a result, young people are less happy as children and less competent as adults. They are also, Haidt seems to argue, more boring. U.S. high school seniors today are less likely to have drunk alcohol, had sex, have a driving license, or worked with their predecessors. Wrapped in cotton wool by their parents and absorbed by their online lives, young people aren't transitioning into adulthood in a healthy way, Haidt argues. These arguments are familiar from Haidt's 2018 book, The Coddling of the American Mind, co-authored with journalist and activist Greg Lukianoff. It's not just that American children are experiencing worse mental health than before, Haidt suggests, but that their transition to adulthood is now stymied by modern parenting and technology. Once we had a new generation hooked on smartphones before the start of puberty, There was little space left in the stream of information entering their eyes and ears for guidance from mentors in their real-world communities during puberty, Haidt writes in his latest work. It's an argument that goes beyond the thin slices of plastic and metal that fill so much of our days. Haidt's anxiety is not just about children. The portion on smartphones and mental health makes up only about half of the book, but about a society of diminished grown-ups, zombified by screens and sheltered from the rough-and-tumble reality that makes them into functioning adults. Unlocked: The Real Science of Screen Time and How to Spend It Better, by British psychologist Pete Etchells, is much more modest in scope. While Haidt closes his book with strong recommendations, Etchells is much more circumspect in his conclusions. His default stance is the scientist's catechism. More research is needed. Or, to be more precise, better research is needed. As Etchells describes, it can be hard to wring much sense out of the scientific literature examining screen time and its effect on mental health, sleep, and so on. These studies constantly run into a myriad of problems. What kind of screen time should we be measuring? Are Zoom calls the same as social media? How do we tease out the possible impact of screen time from the other factors that can influence mental health? The most compelling response is to look at charts that measure rates of anxiety and depression, self-harm, or suicide among teenagers. Often these charts have a shaded portion from 2010 to mark the start of the smartphone era, and then a sharp upturn or downturn that shows how bad things have grown. No other factor can explain this dramatic shift, Haidt argues, other than smartphones. But that doesn't explain the question of why smartphones are having this impact, if indeed they are. In his book, Etchells picks through much of the literature on screen time, including studies from Haidt and his sometime collaborator, psychologist Jean Twenge, whose work on the link between smartphones and mental health in young people has been extremely influential. Sometimes, scientists looking at the same data draw opposite conclusions. In 2019, two researchers from the University of Oxford pooled data on digital technology use and well-being in adolescents and concluded that screens do have a slight negative impact on well-being, but that the effect was very small. A few years later, Twenge, Haidt, and colleagues ran a different analysis on the same data sets and instead concluded that social media did have a big negative impact on girls in particular, stronger than binge drinking, sexual assaults, or hard drug use. Etchells argues that the Haidt and Twenge paper ran a more restricted analysis than the earlier study, not exactly refuting the previous findings, but looking in a slightly different place and finding quite different results. The result was a study that was simply a rehash of previous relationship analyses, but under a different name, with the associated claim that it was therefore more rigorous. In reality, it just added noise to an already chaotic literature, Etchells wrote. Throughout his book, Etchells weaves his own personal experience to offer a counter to the argument that screens are necessarily damaging to our lives. His previous book, Lost in a Good Game, describes how video games helped him cope with the death of his father when he was 14. In Unlocked, he rediscovers his blogs on LiveJournal from his late teens, the writings of a depressed teenager working through his feelings in public and searching for connection with other people. A tour through the online traces of our teenage selves is a toe-curling experience, but Etchells is making a point about how cause and effect get muddled when we think about our screen times. Was LiveJournal making him depressed, or was it simply where he went to process those feelings? Both books end with a series of recommendations. Etchells are much more modest than Haidt's. He implores us to be more thoughtful in how we talk about and research screen time, to reflect more on our habits and tweak the ones that aren't working for us, and to be more critical of what we're told about our devices. While Etchells is asking for a more reflective relationship with our screens, Haidt implores governments and parents to tear up our current approaches and start afresh. In his book, screens are both a cause and a symptom of a society that is careening off the rails, and nothing less than a reboot will get things back on track. It is hard to ignore, in Haidt's book, a desire to roll back the clock to a simpler time, one where kids could play out late, unsupervised, and whirl on the playground roundabout until they were sick. But the line wanting them to have happier, healthier lives, and wanting them to have the lives that kids used to have, is very different. Does it matter if young people today are drinking less, having sex later, or learning to drive later? What is it about their lives that we are trying to fix? Etchells implores us to be more thoughtful readers about technology. Rather than take a knee-jerk, antagonistic approach to sensationalism about screens, then, we need to approach it with a sense of cautious curiosity. If you find yourself questioning a new study about digital technology that doesn't fit with your worldview, then of course, investigate, dig deeper, but do so with an open mind and the aim of understanding. The answer might lay somewhere between these two books. It might be a mistake to throw phones out altogether, but we should think carefully about how we make sure our devices are enriching the lives of young people rather than the opposite. We should address the problems of screen time without ignoring the other myriad things that erode the well-being of young people. And rather than looking through the lens of our own experience as adults, we should center the experience of children and ask them what would make them happier. Make sure to check out our other Wired podcasts. Today in Wired Business, FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried has been sentenced to 25 years in prison. On Wired Science, hear about the next heat pump frontier, New York City apartment windows. And checking in on Wired Security, Jeffrey Epstein's island visitors have been exposed by a data broker. Listen to these stories and more at wired.com/podcasts.
Spoken Layer.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.